Blog Talk Radio.
Yom Suf Arif, and this is the Real Talk Real People Show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and your relationship or in our highest should be in his regard. Also in regards to each other, and in regards to strangers, different nations. Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. Cartrell and I will open up classes quite shortly. But before we do that, I always like to make commentaries on ongoing events, contemporary events. You know, something about these events reminds me of the Planet of the Apes, the last episode of the Planet of the Apes. You know, when Caesar and the apes were trying to get away from human beings, they knew coincide with them was futile, non-existent. And he sent his son out and his son's friend to scope out a place for them to skedaddle to in order to survive. And in the process, his wife and young child was killed. And they had taken the whole tribe into captivity. And they were working them to death. And the thing about these human beings, they were affected by a virus. It didn't affect the apes, but it affected these human beings. And they had another set of human beings against those human beings. Kind of reminds me of what's going on today. Another set of human beings against another set of human beings. Like two sides of the same coin, if you catch my drift. But Caesar had one thing that was pretty smart. And his tribe of apes. The best solution they had was getting far away from those human beings as they possibly could. The final analysis that I come away, and I may watch this show. I may go and go watch the Planet of the Apes. And I try to garner something from it. Because people like to tell on themselves. They like to tell on themselves in movies, books, and whatever. And perhaps these people are telling on themselves. See, they are affected by two viruses. A physical virus and a virus of universal white race supremacy. Was over inundated with lies. They love lies. They lie so much they don't even know when they're telling the truth. Kevin McCarthy of the Republican Party. He went crawling back to Donald Trump in Washington and Florida. The grand wizard of liars. And some of us, unfortunately, because our thinkers are broken, we're like those apes that were complicit with those humans. They call them donkeys. They just used them. Donkeys to mistreat other apes, just like some of us today. Unfortunately, unlike donkeys, used to mistreat us, abuse, dominate, and sometimes kill. See, sometimes you can learn a lot from movies, just like these human beings, and just like the Planet of the Apes. They were wise enough to know we can't coexist together. We got to find a spot all to ourselves. Because trying to exist to them going to get us killed. But unfortunately, some donkeys, which some of us has become for all intents and purposes, think that just by hanging around for a little while longer, another vote, another lie, another virus, just another progression will get us to be loved by them. Caesar knew better. The question is, do you know better? That being said, welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. Let me bring my friend and brother home from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Brother Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. Thank you very much. May he bless you also.
got a fixing with that Planet of the Apes movie, but I look at it from a different perspective.
Okay.
Because we know that the universal white racist supremacy, they go along with the theory that they evolved from apes, right?
Exactly.
So who's the real apes?
You already know.
And not to slight the apes, because I always contend that animals are wiser than humans.
Exactly.
They may not be able to do the same things as far as inventing and creating things, but they're more in tune with the Most High in creation than mankind is. So
exactly.
The animals listen to the Most High. They follow the Most High's law. They don't go outside of it. Gorillas don't try to mate with chimpanzees. Chimpanzees don't try to mate with spider monkeys. Spider monkeys don't try to mingle with baboons. Baboons don't try to mingle with orangutan. They keep their tribes.
Exactly.
Their species after their own kind, like the Most High told them to do. We, on the other hand, we want to mix with apes and gorillas and monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
So who's off? But
exactly.
The people in charge are the real gorillas,
mm-hmm.
terrorists. They're the ones who could blow up the planet over 300 times with their nuclear weapons and their biochemical thermal warfare weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the real beast on the planet?
Exactly. And as you said, animals can teach you a lot, and they stick with their kind. Mm-hmm.
We learn more from animals than we give them credit for.
Exactly.
My father used to tell me that when he was young, that they used to have these nature programs, and in these nature programs, they talked about, you know, man's interaction with animals and nature. And one of the documentaries said that men learn medicines from animals. Like when animals got sick, they watched the plants that they ate. Or when they got wounded, they watched how they put like mud on a wound, or they just took different things from the animals that they learned and applied them to themselves. Or use the herbs that the animals were using and found out that they were very beneficial. So,
animals,
an amazing thing.
Yeah, Dr. Animals aren't stupid, are they, Dr.?
Oh, no, not at all. As a matter of fact, we love martial arts,
mm-hmm.
and they learn martial art from the animals, the tiger, the bear, the
mm-hmm.
lion, the crane. They learn mm-hmm. fighting styles from animals.
Exactly. They certainly do, Dr.
Yeah.
Well, Cartrell?
Yes.
Tonight, my brother, we are about to come to a conclusion of Bar Mitzvah, the last two chapters. The Most High willing, we'll be starting on Davarim tomorrow, a new book in our studies.
Yes, the final words of Moses.
Final words of Moses. That's why we said words. That's what it means, words of Moses. And I'm looking forward to that study session, Cartrell. And I'm looking forward to concluding this study session and the book of Numbers that people call it, Bar Mitzvah. And we're about to conclude, and the Most High is giving more instructions to Moses to relate to the people. And these are serious subject matters that we all take serious, but everything that the Most High says, Cartrell. Well, you know, unfortunately, Cartrell, our young people don't seem to get it. They are killing us and are killing each other at an astronomical rate because they don't get it. But there are consequences, repercussions to spilling innocent blood among our nation. And you shouldn't take these matters lightly and are for granted. But we're about to see that. We're about to see
spilling blood anywhere on the planet is a serious matter. As the Most High said, it pollutes the land where the blood is shed. If it's not justified,
if
you don't bring justice where justice is due, then it defiles the land. So we know blood calls for blood. We know America was built on blood, and there's no cleansing for the land because blood is constantly being shed.
Exactly.
Without justice being done.
So the end result of what we're seeing today as we speak, Cartrell, juxtaposition and what's going on and this Western Hemisphere is a foregone conclusion with the spilling of blood. Listening lies, viruses, inundated with plagues, universal white race supremacists, that's a foregone conclusion if you know the word of Yah. It's inevitable. What we are witnessing is inevitable. You can't escape it. Okay.
What we're about to read might seem shocking, but justice is shocking. Just as shocking as wickedness.
Exactly. Okay, Cottrell. Well, brother, let's get started in our studies. Fellow students, you got your maps, your books. Turn to chapter 35, the concluding chapter of Bar Mitzvah. And may the Most High bless you by his words and the application of his word. The Elohim spoke to Moses in the streets of Moab, our kinfolk, as he drew near Jericho, saying, instruct the people to assign out the holiest a portion to them, towns for the Levites to dwell in. You shall also assign to the Levite pasture land around their towns. The towns shall be theirs to dwell in. The pasture shall be for the cattle they own and all their other beasts. The town pasture that you are to assign to the Levites shall extend 1,000 cubits outside the town all around. That's a whole lot of pastoral land. You shall measure off 2,000 cubits outside the town on the east side, 2,000 on the south side, 2,000 on the west side, and 2,000 on the north side, with the town dead smack in the center. That should be packed for that town. Go ahead, Cottrell.
Did you notice something about that order?
Yeah, the sides. You said, to the sides. You said,
it started with the east side.
East side, right.
Mm-hmm. Then the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Then the west side, then the north side. That's the order of the nation. Judah on the east side, Reuben on the south side, Joseph on the west side, and Dan on the north side. That's always the order of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
So even these cities were set after the order of our nation.
Exactly. These Levitical cities. The Elohim further spoke to Moses. Okay, hold on, excuse me. I missed the very important. Let's go back up. Verse 6. There's something serious. You need to think about this, what we're about to say. The towns that you assigned to the Levites shall comprise six cities of refuge that you designated for a manslayer to flee to, to which you shall add to the 42 other cities. Thus, the total of the towns that you assigned to the Levites shall be 48 towns with their pastures, assigning towns for the holdings of the Israelites. Take more from the larger groups and less from the smaller. Take more from the larger groups and less from the smaller groups, so that each assigned town to the Levites in proportion to the share it receives. Did you recall I said about a manslayer? That is not a deliberate murder or taking of one life. That is a manslayer inadvertently by accident, by happenstance and a chance. They were afforded an opportunity to flee to these six designated cities when an avenger was after them to avenge the slaying of their kinfolk. Now, if they didn't make it to that town, their behind was on their own. And even if they made it to that town, and it was not a just killing, just in the sense of it was an accident, that city would offer them no refuge. And even if it offered them refuge, they had a trial in their city and found out, no, this is not an accident. You knew what you were doing when you did what you were doing, okay? You deliberately took that man's or woman's life. You can't stay here. So they threw you out of the city. But now, if you accidentally, you got in the fisticuffs, you hit him a hard blow, you wasn't going to really try to do that, and you killed that person. They would have forced you to stay in that city of refuge, and you couldn't go outside the gates of that city. You can go back to your home spot. You can go back to your ancestral tribe. You had to stay within the walls of that city until the high priest at the time passed on, and then you would afford the latitude to go back to your town. What say you, Contrail?
You're getting a little bit ahead of the story, but...
Okay. Well, say no more then, Contrail. Say no more. I will continue.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
How many cities did the Levites have?
A total of 48 towns.
And you divide that up by 12, so...
Mm-hmm.
You have four cities in each of the tribes, probably, more than likely,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So the Levites didn't have a land of their own. They were the ones who really controlled the cities in the nation of Israel. 48
exactly.
Cities are a lot of cities.
That's a lot of cities.
And six of them were meant for places of refuge in case another man died by the hand of another man, or a woman died by the hand of another woman, or there was a death by the hand of another human being. You had to run to that city, and they had to determine whether you murdered that person or killed that person accidentally.
Right.
So you got a trial.
You got a trial. And if the trial that you deliberately killed that person, you couldn't stay in that city. And the avenger, probably by all intents and purposes, had already made it to the city, waiting on you after your trial. They're waiting on you to come out of them gates. The most
he can't come out the gates. He would have to die within those gates if he was convicted of murder.
Listen to what I'm saying. If you accidentally, inadvertently kill someone, you could stay within those cities' walls. But if the murder was not justified in the sense that you came at me and you deliberately killed me, Cartrell, for all intents and purposes, you knew what you were doing, I wouldn't be held in refuge in those cities, okay? So wait, I'm going to escape this. They wouldn't have given me no refuge in those cities' walls, okay? Now, me and Cartrell got to fighting, and I hit Cartrell, and I hurt Cartrell, but I wasn't really trying to kill him. Yes, I would receive refuge. But if I deliberately hunted Cartrell down and murdered Cartrell, I would be offered no refugee in those cities. That would be circumventing justice. You understand what I'm saying, Cartrell?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
This concept of a refuge city, America is taking on, but they use it for immigrants. They don't use it for the same concept that the Most High had it for our nation. So you hear about refuge cities, or what they call them, sanctuary cities.
Sanctuary cities.
Right.
Yeah, they're using it for immigrants, but the Most High used it because the Most High viewed the shedding of blood very seriously. The shedding of a brother and a sister's blood very seriously, and not to be taken lightly, or just like we do now in this country. They take the shedding of the blood of the innocent quite lightly. They ride by, drive by, they'll walk by, they even run by and shoot you. Take it lightly. It doesn't matter.
Get a 5-year prison sentence and be right back on the street.
Doing the very same thing. But as far as the Most High was concerned, no. That's not going to work. The Most High takes life precious and valuable, and is imposing upon us. We should take life precious and valuable, and not taking the taking of life for granted. Okay? All right, let's continue. The Elohim spoke to Moses, speak to the Israelite people, and said to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, which is your land, I'm assigning to you, you shall provide yourself with places to serve as cities of refuge to which a manslayer who has killed a person unintentionally, not intentionally, may flee. The city shall serve as a refuge from the avenger that's coming to get your behind for killing a folk, so that the manslayer may not die unless he stood trial before the assembly. It was afforded the manslayer an opportunity before a trial before the assembly. The town that you thus assign shall be six cities of refuge in all. Three cities shall be designated beyond the Jordan. The other three cities shall be designated in the land of Canaan. They shall serve as cities of refuge. These six cities shall serve the Israelites and the resident aliens, people of other nations, among them for refuge. Even them, even they could go there. To anyone who kills a person unintentionally may flee there. If you intentionally did it, angel says you're going there. Because if you had a trial and they found that you intentionally did what you did, you wouldn't be afforded refuge in that city, okay? Anyone, however, listen, it's going to give you detail. Anyone, who strikes a person with an iron object so that death results is a murderer. You did it intentionally. The murderer must be put to death. That blood must be silenced because it's crying out to Yah for justice. If he struck him with a stone, or she, too, that caused death, and death resulted, he or she is a murderer. The murderer must be put to death. Similarly, if the object with which he struck him was a wooden tool that could cause death, and death resulted, he or she is a murderer. The murderer must be put to death. The blood avenger himself shall put the murderer to death. The blood avenger of that family shall put that person to death. Because the Most High takes the shedding of blood quite seriously, and certainly we should too. It is he who shall put him to death upon encounter. The blood avenger. Not the city, not the community. So too, if he pushes him in hate or hurls something at him on purpose and death resulted. Or if he struck him with his hand, an enemy, he had animosity against this person and death resulted. The assailant shall be put to death. This is premeditated. He or she is a murderer. The blood avenger shall put the murderer to death upon encounter. If he push him without malice or forethought, unintentional, or hurled any object at him unintentionally, it wasn't designed to kill the person, or inadvertently dropped upon him a deadly object of stone and death resulted, though he is not an enemy of him, they're not enemies, and did not actually seek to do him or her harm, in such cases, the assembly shall decide between the slayer and the blood avenger. That'll force this person to run to those cities, and then a trial is held in those cities, and a decision is made. The assembly shall protect the manslayer from the blood avenger, and the assembly shall restore him to the city of refuge to which he fled, and there shall remain until there he or she shall remain until the death of the high priest at that time, who was anointed with the sacred oil. But if the manslayer ever goes outside the limits of the city of refuge to which he or she has fled, the blood avenger comes upon him outside the limits of his city of refuge. The blood avenger kills the manslayer. There is no blood or guilt on the avengers account. for he must remain inside his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. After the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to his land, his ancestral land, and his ancestral holdings. These matters are very serious. Such shall be your law or procedure throughout the ages in your settlements, in your land. If anyone kills a person, the manslayer may execute only on the evidence of witnesses. You can't go by no rumors. You can't go by no, circumstantial evidence. Only on the evidence of witnesses, more than one witness. The testimony of a single witness against a person shall not suffice for a sentence of death. You can't have one witness. It's got to be witnesses. You may not accept a ransom for the life of a murderer. You can't redeem that person who is guilty of a capital crime. He must be put to death because blood must answer blood. Nor may you accept ransom in lieu of flight to a city of refuge. You can't, I ain't going to go to the city. Can I give you a ransom? No, you can't accept no ransom. Enabling one to return to live on his land before the death of the priest. Well, look here, okay. I got 5 years left. Because I got 100 G's. Tell them folks I can give them 100. I got 5 years left. You know, and I think the high priest is going to be laid low in 5 years. That's the word out. Can I get a pass? Ain't no passes. Because the answering of blood, spilling of blood, is serious to y'all, unlike in this country. Well, you kill somebody in 20 years, that's a wrap. No, it doesn't work like that. Nor may you accept ransom in lieu of flight to a city of refuge, enabling one to return to live on his land before the death of the priest. That high priest has to pass first. You should not pollute the land. Reason being, you'll pollute the land. You should not pollute the land to which you live. For blood pollutes the land. And the land can have no expiation for blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. Justice cannot be remedied except from the one who shed it. You shall not defile the land in which you live, in which I myself abide. For the Elohim abides among the Israelite people. So the Most High said, when that innocent blood is spilled, no, it's got to be answered. It's got to be consequences and repercussions. And unintentionally, inadvertently, I'll give you a pass. Make it to the refugee city. And when the high priest dies that was in charge at that time, then you can go on home. Maybe 20. 45, maybe 1 year, maybe 40 years, maybe 60 years, but you got to stay there. You come outside those walls, they're going to ask for you because the land is polluted and we don't respond to this. See, we don't take these matters seriously in this land. This land is polluted. It cries out for justice. That's why you see the end result of what you're seeing today as we speak. This is the end result of innocent blood being spilled and not crying out to Yah. Cartrell, what say you, my friend?
It sounds like some serious law and order here.
Yeah, real law and order, brother. Real law and order.
We know that they took over the Capitol and 6 people died. They talk about, let's all get along, let's, you know, unite.
<Yeah. laughs> We ain't got to answer that innocent blood. Let's just unify.
And that's what they do. Watch. They'll sweep it right under the rug, and that's just more blood piled up. And that blood continues to pile up until there's a final judgment if that blood is not answered. So
exactly.
We had to answer the blood right away. Why? Because the Most High was dwelling, living in our midst. It's not like heaven, the church concept where you die and go to heaven. There ain't no bloodshed up there, right? So
right
down here, where Yah wants to dwell, he wants the earth clean
right.
of blood, no bloodshed. If you kill a man by mistake, you got to pay for it for a long time. So ain't no accidental deaths going on. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I knocked him off the building with a 2x4. I didn't see him behind me. No, you're going to the city of refuge, and you got to stay there until the priest died. And you know the priest is healthy. You know the priest is strong.
Yeah.
The high priest.
You might not never come out of it.
Good. He ain't the best of the best in the land, son. He ain't dying no time soon.
You might not never be able to come out of that city.
And imagine if he lived to be as old as Methuselah, 999.
Right. And see, that's what in our land, we would be missing out on a great opportunity to exercise ourselves with our brothers and sisters because of an inadvertent mistake we made. But that's how serious the Most High is concerned by the spilling of blood, even under unintentional circumstances. And with intentional circumstances, there is no remedy. There is no refugee city. Oh, you have a little trial. The evidence will be presented. The witness will be presented. And then you'd be kicked out the refugee city and the avenger be waiting on you. See, you got to be very cognizant and very careful what you're doing when you come to spilling of our people's blood or anybody's blood, because not only we could go to those refugee cities, different nations could run to those refugee cities also. What say you, Cottrell?
So we see that every Israelite family had an executioner. There was a assigned person that if somebody got killed in your family, we send in the big ox out.
You wouldn't sit in. You sit in rock.
The big ox, the big brother.
Yeah,
and we know
rock.
He know what to do.
People's champion. He gave the people's elbow.
But just imagine how full those cities would be with all the accidental deaths that go on.
Right.
You know, just like you driving a car, you kill somebody. Guess what? You got to run to the city of refuge.
Yeah, you got to get to getting. Ain't no going home, packing bags, and waiting over the weekend. Having sex.
Going back to your job.
Wherever you at, you better get to rolling. Okay?
And you think that would make people drive safer or be more careful?
It would make you be more responsible for your actions and more cognizant of what's going on around you and know what's going on around you and be cognizant of it. And then have some self-discipline and self-control where you can't let your anger takes control of you and you just you were trying to kill him, but you just weren't thinking.
Say road rage?
Yeah, road rage. You can't let that happen. Most highly killing about that. So we got to take these matters quite seriously. The spilling of our blood, the spilling of the blood of a brother or sister is very serious to the Most High. Especially in our land, in lieu of our land, we're in the land of our enemies. They can do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and how they want to do it, and they're certainly doing it.
Oh, no, they can't, because there's consequences and a price to pay. They may not pay yet, but there is karma, and that blood is still out there crying, and the Most High hears it.
Yeah, but temporarily, let me put that word in, temporarily, they can do what they want to do. But as Cottrell alluded to the fact, which is quite true, there is consequences and repercussions. And the spiritual element, that blood is going to be asked. Okay?
I say that to say it happened to us. We shed blood in our land. The land became polluted, and there was consequences. It didn't happen right away, but we were judged, still being judged.
And what happened to us, Katra? We were exposed.
Oh, yeah.
We were exposed.
We lost everything.
We lost everything. And so the taking of blood is quite serious, Cartrell. Would you say so, my brother?
Take it serious.
All right. Well, do you have any more commentary on subject matter, Cartrell? Otherwise, we'll move right along.
Yes, a lot to meditate on, but yes, we definitely got to move on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cartrell. My brothers and sisters, 36th chapter, rather a short chapter. And Caltrell is going to take over the study session in a lovely segment of Psalms. The family heads and the clans of the descendants of Gilead, son of Mishar, son of Manasseh,
One of the plans, but they threw that in there.
Tribes. Let me put that word in, tribe. One of the Josephite tribes came forward and appealed to Moses and the chieftain, family heads of the Israelites, the princesses. They said, "The Elohim commanded my Lord to assign the land to the Israelites as shares by lot. My Lord was further commanded by the Elohim to assign the share of our kinsman, Zelophehad, to his daughters." Now, we want clarification on this matter, what he's saying. Now, if those daughters marry a person from another Israelite tribe, their share shall be cut off from their ancestral point. Well, that ain't right. Because if one of them daughters marry somebody not from the tribe, well, there would be no connection tribally to that tribe. And he added to the portion, and be added to the portion of the tribe into which they married. So if she married somebody from the tribe of Yehuda, that land would be proportioned to them, to their heritage. That ain't right. Plus, our allotted portion shall be diminished as a result of it. And when the Israelite observed the Jubilee, their share will be added to that tribe unto which they marry. So at the time of Jubilee, the tribe would go to that, to the Yehudites, to the Danites, or the Asherites. That don't sound right. And their share should be cut off from the ancestral portion of our tribe. So Moses, at the Elohim bidding, instructed the Israelites, saying, "The plea of the Josephite tribe is just." That's right. What he's saying makes sense. "And this is what the Elohim commanded concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. They may marry anyone they wish." They can marry anyone of any tribe they wish.
No, within their tribe.
Oh, you're right, Katria. Yes, sirree, Bob. You know, Katria and I were talking about this time back. I think the Most High answered that adequately. He said they can marry any man they want to marry, provided they marry into the tribe of the father's tribe. No inheritance of the Israelite may pass over from one tribe to another. Now, they can marry someone outside the tribe. It is not recommended. It is advisable and commanded that they marry somebody. They can find somebody in their own ancestral tribe. But the Israelite must remain bound east to the ancestral portion of his tribe. You must marry within your tribe. Every daughter among the Israelite tribes who inherit a share must marry someone from the tribe of a father's tribe, in order that every Israelite may keep his ancestral share. It may remain within that tribe. Thus, no inheritance shall pass from one tribe to another. But the Israelite tribe shall remain bound each to its foot. You must remain bound to your tribe. The daughters of Zelophehad did as the Elohim commanded Moses. Maha, Mahla, Terzah, Hokla, Makla, and Noah, Zephalad's daughter, were married to sons of their uncles, married into clans of descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph, so that their share remain in the tribe of their father's clan. Keep it all in the family.
We didn't have clans.
Yeah, we have clans.
We didn't have clans.
Yeah, ancestral houses.
There you go.
These are the, I'm sorry, Katja, you're right. Ancestral houses. These are the commandments and regulations that the Elohim, Yah, enjoined upon the Israelites through Moses on the steeps of Moab, our kinfolk, at the Jordan near Jericho. You know, Katja, you know we used to talk about that, and I used to ask you questions in that regard,
yeah,
about marrying outside the clan. You say, well, you can do it, but it's not recommended. And I could see
the reason why it was not recommended. And it would be frowned upon. You will be taking tribal land and giving it to inherit to another tribe, and that was not recommended. As a matter of fact, it was frowned upon, and the Most High said, don't do it. You marry within your tribe. Keep it all in the family, okay, so to speak. Cartrell, my brother and friend, what say you?
I said if these young brothers were ready, they're already thinking long-term what they're going to do with their land. They wasn't worried about the giants the previous generation was worried about. They're already
right.
mapping out what they're going to do with their land. So they had a positive attitude, a positive spirit. They flown with the Most High. The Most High could see that they was ready because they thinking long-term. And that was a good question because if they marry into other tribes, what the brothers were saying was right. When the Jubilee came around, it would go. They was thinking about what y'all told them about the Jubilee and counting the time.
They were meditation on the word of Yah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they were thinking, how this gonna work? I mean, that means we're gonna lose holy in our ancestral tribal land allotment. That ain't right. And so right. Go ahead, Cartrell.
This generation didn't know Egypt, so they wasn't too interested in going anywhere but forward. And
exactly.
The fact that the Most High is promising them like 48 cities and allotments of land with inheritance, and if you lose it, it's going to come back to you, they was ready. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they. You know what? You know, I like what you said about the part where you said they was thinking towards the future. They had confidence. They had so much confidence. They wanted to know, hey, how this going to work? This ain't going to work like that for the Zolofad daughters because they're going to be taking the land away from our tribal allotment. So they were thinking into the future. They were confident in their future, unlike we.
So much so, they wasn't thinking about a military conquest because that would be the first thing. Most people, now, how are we going to conquer these people? What kind of strategy are we going to use? What kind of weapons we got? They talking about dividing up the land. If these daughters marry somebody else of another tribe, the tribe going to get it. We ain't got it. We're going to lose it.
Right. But they were thinking about family life. They were thinking about thug life. They were thinking
not
about
at all.
Family, raising
That's
a family
right.
and raising a community. And
married.
Right. Hereditary. Holy.
Because all these daughters got married.
Right. And they knew how women think. You know, these women are young, they fine, they got it going on. They ain't gonna be on that land by themselves. No, Matter of fact, I'm looking at one of them myself. But I just wanna know. He said, these young sisters fine, man. You know doggone well. These old fine young sisters. They ain't gonna be out there by themselves. They gonna try to get up with a man. And so, but look here, check it out. That ain't gonna work. How that gonna work? So they need clarification on it. Specification and codification, as we said. Go ahead, Cartrell.
That's about it.
Okay.
We got to have the same attitude as these young brothers. Think forward, think ahead, have confidence in the Most High that he's going to come through with his promises.
Key word, Cartrell, confidence in the Most High. Because Cartrell can't do nothing for you. Young Sue can't do nothing for you. Aviyah can't do nothing for you. Sister, Wendy Pettis can't do nothing for you. Ema Hadora can't do nothing for you. Because they didn't go to nail one of them. Them brother came to Moses to inquire of the Most High. And I suggest, Cartrell suggests, you look for answers, go to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. That being said, Cartrell, my brother and friend, we're ready for another study session in the Book of Psalms. May the Most High bless us.
Yes, just one more thing. We had a meeting with the elders' council, and a brother was looking to be nominated to the council, and he was questioning his identity, and he said that he knew that he came from Ghana and from the people of the Ashanti. When he said that, it sparked the memory of a book that I read called Hebrewism in West Africa by Joseph J. Williams, and also a book by Professor Rudolph Windsor, who talks about the Ashanti. The Ashanti come from one of the six cities of refuge.
Okay.
That were mentioned in these chapters. One of the six cities of refuge were named Ashan. So the people of Ashan left the city of Ashan and migrated into Africa all the way to the West Coast.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, when Joseph J. Williams found the Ashanti, they had the breastplate of the high priest.
Exactly.
So I thought that was pretty deep.
That was the whole dynamic of that inquiry, Cartrill, that we were privy to, was dynamic. And so, and I remember you saying that. And that information was very, made me meditate on what you said. And so,
it might have went past some people, but it's
right.
Significant.
It didn't go past me. Believe me, Yum Soup. Nothing past Yum Soup, okay? And I thought about what you said after that inquiry, that meeting.
And you look at his character, right?
Right.
And you look at the nature of the Levites, what they had to do. They had to be like diplomats and people that traveled and mingled with different communities.
And
that's pretty
like,
much what he was. Huh?
And he was like that. That,
yeah.
that elder was like that. He was very diplomatic.
That's the connection I was making.
Right.
Because he was talking about most of us don't know the tribes we come from. But that right there, those people that call themselves Ashanti and descend from Ashan, they have a semblance of connection with their roots.
Exactly.
More than most.
Exactly. And they're very.
The only other family that does have ties with their past is the family of Emperor Haile Selassie.
Yeah. Well,
who went to Ethiopia.
But the Ashantis are very tribal people too. They really love their heritage. And from my understanding, I could be in here. They don't too hard to marry out of the Ashanti tribe. Also,
say that again.
They don't too much marry out of the Ashanti tribe. Also,
right.
They love their tribe, they're down with their head. They can be warlike and pushed. They can be very warlike and pushed. That's not their first line of defense. They're very, from my understanding, they're very reasonable people, very diplomatic. But push come to shove, they ain't nothing to play with. Push come to shove, they're not anything to play with. They're Ashantis.
And they've kept a lot of the customs, laws, and traditions of the ancient Israelites.
Exactly.
But they call it by a different name.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're all doing these studies together, Katya. And I pray that my Ashanti brothers and sisters are studying somewhere, or maybe perhaps in the Real Talk for Real People show somewhere, because this is an international talk show, study session.
Uh-huh.
And I pray that the Most High has made a way that some way it is coming into their heritage, their tribe, through virtue, through means of the internet. And so we can connect in that sense. Well, Cartier, my brother and friend, that was a lovely study session, and we're open for another study sessions and another book, the Book of Psalms. Cartier is about to present to us. Have your ears open so you can meditate on the words of Yah. Thank you, Cartier.
No problem, my brother. And I think that the people in Ghana are probably fast asleep. They're like 5 or 6 hours ahead of us. So
unless
they not out.
Well, look here. Maybe they heard about the Real Talk for Real People show, and they're looking it up on the podcast.
Could be. Yeah, willing. We got another Psalm of King David, Psalm of Ascent. And these Psalms of Ascension are spiritual songs, poems, songs of love to the Most High from David, King David's heart. So this is the path that he gave us. He left us. And there's a saying that goes, follow the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the Most High loved King David.
Exactly.
Even though he was a frail human being, he made mistakes, but he had a heart that the Most High loved. So we need to tune our hearts in the same way that King David tuned his heart into the Most High. So
well,
give thanks and praise.
Cartier,
Cartier, I'm not. Let me apologize first and foremost. I'm sorry, but you were saying something about King Dawood, and you and I had a conversation early on about King Dawood. King Dawood spilled the blood of a man deliberately, intentionally. But King Dawood didn't go to the high priest. King Dawood didn't run to the tribe he was running to. When approached by the prophet, King Dawood ran to Yah. See, the Most High can restore your soul. Even when you dead to the wrong, Yom Su can't do nothing for you. Katrael can't do nothing for you. Abiyah can't do nothing for you. But now, when we violated the rules of the Most High, it's incumbent upon us as King Dawood, father the leader, to do what King Dawood did. King Dawood got remedy. He spilled the innocent blood of a man, taking the man's of a man's wife, putting him in the forefront of the battle and having his men to withdraw from him and having that man deliberately killed. See, there is solutions in his Rubik's cubes. But you got to trust in Yah to find those solutions. There is solutions in this Rubik's cube, but you got to trust in Yah to find those solutions. And that's why Yah loved King Dawood. King Dawood searched diligently. How can I get back to Yah? How can I? I need a new thinker. Because this other one got me in this trouble. I got to get a new thinker. First and foremost, before you get to Yah, you got to get a new thinker. I'm sorry, Katja. You know you pushed them brothers. You know when you pushed them brothers. What's going to happen? Go ahead, Katja. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to understand King David a little bit because King David was a warrior, and Uriah wasn't the only man he killed. They said King David killed 10,000 of men. So he's a warrior with much blood on his hand, but the blood that he shed were the people that the Most High told us to destroy, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Philistines. So he was justified in removing the wicked nations that were in the Most High's holy land that he was setting aside for our people. And King David was the one who really made the big push to push those people out and set up the kingdom in full to allot these inheritances to our people. So he had a lot of blood on his hands. That's why he couldn't build the temple. Although his desire was there to build a temple. So he was really a violent man. He had to deal with a lot of violence.
Right.
So when you talk about he killed Uriah, the Hittites were supposed to be eliminated. So it's like, you know, it wasn't right that he did that, but the fact that he realized the wrong when the Most High pointed out to him that it was wrong for him to have done that, it broke him. Like, wow, I've been so violent in my life, I thought it was okay for me to do that. But I realized that I went a bit too far.
And you know, Katja, because in that Rubik's Cube was the Most High answer for him. In that Rubik's Cube of those codification and specification was the answer. And the answer was Yah. To give King Dawood peace of mind, restoration of his soul. See, we got
Most High can restore Uriah's soul too.
Right.
He might have went before his time, but it's the Most High that restore a soul. So the fact that King David was sorry, and he showed what they call
contriteness,
remorse.
Mm-hmm.
And he sincerely asked, you know, from his heart, Yah to forgive him and change him, change his whole mindset, because he's been this man of war, this violent man, from the time he was 17 up until now, he's a king.
And he knows it. He knows this country. He did a self-examination of himself and juxtapositioned it to the word of Yah. And a lot of us need to do this when it comes to ourselves. We need to do a self-examination and juxtaposition it to the word of Yah. To give you peace of mind, to give you hope and restoration, and to give you a new thinker. Because the one that you're carrying alone ain't working for you. It's working against you. So you need a new thinker. That's what we always push on this show. You need a new thinker, just like King Dawood. He did a self-examination, and he showed contriteness. He showed responsibility for his action. He didn't put it off on, and well, if he shouldn't have had that woman, and then if he should have went to bed with her when I brought him back home, all this would have never happened. If he had went to bed with Bathsheba when I brought him back to give a false report of what's going on, then, you know, it's his fault that we in this situation. No, it wasn't his fault. And King Dawood assumed responsibility for his action. It was King Dawood's fault. And he assumed responsibility. And so we need to assume responsibility for our own actions. And not try to put it off on someone else. And deal with Yah in the matter, as King Dawood did. And got him a new thinker, got him a hope and restoration, brought him back close in a relationship to Yah. That's what we all should be striving for. A closer relationship with Yah, doing some examination, and assume responsibility for our own actions, and not blaming it on someone else. Go ahead, Cartier.
And the beauty of King David is that he didn't use his power or his position to try to bribe his way out of it. Because he could have offered up a lot of bulls, a lot of sheep, a lot of goat, or whatever, like people do.
Right.
What he used was the real power. The real power was the pureness and sincerity in his heart. And he went to Yah with those words.
Our words are powerful.
Huh?
He wasn't going to never have no peace of mind until he made it right with Yah.
Right. So
and out of it,
you see these beautiful words that come out of him in the Psalms that he wrote.
Exactly. And we're open ears to see, to hear that peace of mind that this brother got. And Yah. Go ahead, Carter.
And believe me, when I was young and I was in despair, I studied King David's Psalms every day for at least 6-7 straight years. The Psalms. That's all I read, Psalms and Proverbs. And it gave me strength. It really did.
You know what, Contra? That's the beauty of this show, that it's not synchronized. And you had a lot of your in-depth study in the Psalms. And I've studied the Word of Yah all over. But the in-depth study that you a lot to this, it shows forth in our study sessions. So the Most High puts everybody in place that they need to be. Like he put Yom Suf in place of this segment of the study session, and it puts Cartier in place of that segment of the study session. It shows the Most High. Shows how synchronized he is. So he put the best man in spot to do the job that he wants done. And so if Yom Suf is talking about Dvarim by Mitzvah or any one of the other books, the Most High puts the best man in charge to present his studies. And he puts Cartier in charge to present his studies as far as the book of the Psalm are concerned. So if you think the Most High ain't real, you're lying to yourselves and or each other. Go ahead, Cartier.
Yeah, you keep making me go off.
I noticed
how powerful King David's words were and King Solomon's words are and are today. When you see people carrying around a little tiny book with the Psalms and Proverbs in them.
Right.
Have you seen that little tiny book, Proverbs and Psalms, that people carry around?
I've seen it, Cartier. Matter of fact, I just carried it myself one time.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, wow. See, that shows you, we're not Chinese. We ain't carrying around the book of Confucius. We carrying a book of the kings of Israel, King David and King Solomon, because what their words touch us in a certain way.
Exactly.
So I'd notice, and every time I notice, I like acknowledge the Most High and how powerful King David and King Solomon were when I see people carrying around those little Psalms and little Proverbs, the book. But anyway, we end the book right now. Psalms 131, a psalm of sent by our King David. Yah, My heart isn't proud. I don't set my sights too high. I don't take part in great affairs or in wonders far beyond me. No, I keep myself calm and quiet, like a little child in its mother's lap. I keep myself like a little child. Yisrael, put your hope in Yah from now on and forever. Praise Yah. So in his prayer to Yah, he got advice for us at the same time. Do what I'm doing, right? You see that, right?
Yeah.
He gave us counsel in the midst of his prayer to Yah. Yah need to be
right.
Doing what I'm doing. Put your hope, like I put my hope in Yah, and don't give it up ever from now on and forever, because there is everlasting life. You can't
right.
hope in Yah forever if there is not forever there. So King
right.
David, yeah, he went like back to his childhood. You remember me when I was a shepherd, watching the sheep and composing songs and psalms, and I want to be like that again, not this violent man that I've become.
Right.
But even as a child, when he was young, he had to be violent. He had to defend the sheep from the bear and the lion. So his life was pretty violent.
Right. And you know what I liked about that, Contrail? I like
mm-hmm.
that I keep myself in my place. I don't make
right.
a move. I don't.
This is the king talking. This is
right.
the king talking.
Right. This
he said he's not proud.
Right.
I'm not thinking too high.
Right.
I don't be acting like I'm the best king in the world and being in everybody's affair and just trying to show like I'm a wonder of the world. No, I keep it simple. I'm
right.
quiet. You know, I'm humble.
And the move I make is the move you tell me to make.
That's right.
And that's
my hope is in you.
And
I'm telling my people to hope
right.
in you like I hope in you.
Exactly. And that's what we always impress upon you. Get you a new thinker. And that's why these studies are essential to you, to understand the thinking, to have a humble mind. That I ain't trying to get no titles. I ain't trying to be nothing special. I'm just here wherever the Most High want me to be. I'm just a cog in a big machinery. And I'm going to be the best cog that I'm going to be in this big machinery, and I'm going to do what the Most High tell me to do, when he tell me to do it, how he tell me to do it, because it's going to work for me. Anything else going to work on me. I ain't nothing special. That's what King David is telling y'all.
This is a king. This is a king who went out on the battlefield in the forefront. Not like leaders today. They push buttons and declare war and send a young man off to war. This is the king who was in the battlefront.
Exactly. He didn't lead from behind. He led in front. That's like he killed 10,000 men. He didn't lead in the back. He led from the front. Unlike some of these people here, especially those in Congress, they lead from the back. You can see they ain't got no skin in the game. They got a whole lot of conversation, a whole lot of lip service. I'm something special just by virtue. But they ain't got any skin in the game. And King David was, you got to love him. With all his shortcomings and mistakes, he always tried to maintain humble. He didn't try to be nothing special. I didn't ask for this. But since you put me here, I'm going to do the best I can, what I got. But I ain't looking for no titles. You made me king. I mean, I didn't come looking for y'all. I didn't come looking for no title. The prophet came out and put the oil on my brothers. Then they said, well, you ain't got no other son? Yeah, I got a little fella. He up in the sheep. Mess with the sheep. He's sheep boy. I'm going to bring him on. I need to put the oil on him because the other boys said, no, that ain't them. Then they found out you chose me, y'all. But even that being said, I ain't nothing special. I was a sheep boy. I was out there like Contrail said. I was making music. I'm writing songs about you. I still ain't looking for nothing special. I'm still a sheep boy in mind. See, some of y'all got to be like a sheep boy or a sheep girl in mind. That's the kind of mind that the Most High can deal with. Not somebody for highfalutin, trying to be something that they ain't, trying to make moves that the Most High didn't tell them to make. That's not the kind of person that the Most High deals with. He likes humble men and women. Stay in your lane. Don't make a move till I tell you to make a move. That's the kind of mind we always try to impress upon you to get. Because anything else is not going to work for you. It's going to work entirely against you. That's why we impress upon that to you at the end of these shows, these study sessions. Cartrell, I do apologize. You know you said one thing, brother, it'll get me crunk up. But Cartrell, what's your closing remarks on these study sessions?
Well, from the mindset of King David to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, Yah's not serving us. We are serving him.
Say that again, Cartrell. No, say that again. Say that again. No, I like that. Say that again, Cartrell.
From the mindset of King David to the mindset of the nation, which he's trying to convey through his words, Yah's not serving us. We are serving him. He calls us his servants. We got this notion of freedom. Throw it in the garbage, because we're going from one servitude to the highest servitude you can serve on earth. We're serving the creator of the universe right here on earth, our nation. No other nation could do it. He ain't claimed on no other nation. He claimed us. We his chosen. He chose us to serve him, to be his servants. Not serve him by just worshiping and going once a week like we go to church. We ain't talking about that kind of service. We're talking about serving him, ministering to him like the angels do in the heavens.
And you know what, Kasha? In that servitude, you can't make a move. You can't do a thing unless the Most High is down with what you're doing. Okay? And that's that on that. And another fellow from New York City said this, Cartrell, and synchronized what you just said. If you don't know, now you know. He was from New York City too, just like Cartrell.
Well, there's a king who said, get wisdom, get knowledge, but with all that getting, get understanding. You might know, you better understand what you know.
That's what I'm saying. And so we try to help y'all get some understanding. You're getting all this wisdom, you're getting all this knowledge, but you need to understand what you got. If you just got all this wisdom, all this book sense, and you don't understand what you got, it don't do you no world of good. That's why we tell y'all, know who your kinfolk is. Know who the Moabs is. Know who the Ammonites is. Know who the Edomites is. Know everything about everything. Be cognizant of everything. Okay?
Man, God, you know who that is?
Yep. Now say that again, Cartrell.
I said Gog Magog. Do you know who that is?
Yeah. Know everything. If you don't know, try to find out. And that's why you need to come to these study sessions. Because you don't know. We don't know something. We're going to keep coming. It ain't going to stop till the casket drop. You think Young Super Cartrell are going to just diddly on down the way? Diddly on down the road? Oh, we've done. We've been through all the books. Well, Cartrell, you and I, we know everything, buddy. Let's dilly on down the road. No, we're going to come right back at it, because we're going to pick up something else. We're going to get some understanding, which y'all should try to be subscribing to, getting some understanding. Go ahead, Cartrell.
That's about it. If you don't understand, you should be asking questions. And if you ain't satisfied with the questions, you got to do the due diligence and do the research.
Exactly.
So seek wisdom, seek knowledge. You got to seek understanding, because it's the way and the path to the Most High. You read wisdom, and hate me, love death. The wisdom is the way to the Most High. And what we've learned is that we are Yah's servants. So we better learn how to serve Yah in a proper way, like
exactly.
Our fathers did, the righteous ones.
Exactly. And it ain't the way of the world. It ain't the way of the other nations, okay? It ain't what other nations do. It's just that simple. Cartrell, do you have any more closing commentaries?
I think you've exhausted all my final commentaries. if I keep going, we'd be here till 12 o'clock.
Contrary, if you said something, you know you're going to get me started. All right. Contrary, thank you, my brother and friend, for working along with me. It's an honor working with you to do the pleasure of Yah to bring his word before them so they can get some understanding and so we can get some understanding. But
yes, we all need it.
But contrary, every good thing must come to an end, and this is the conclusion of the show.
I don't think so. Don't say that.
No, for the day. Just for the day. But the Most High willing, contrary, we're going to come back tomorrow, synchronize again, doing the servitude of the Most High, presenting his word so you can get some understanding. Well, contrary,
every good thing lasts forever. I'm sorry. That's a European thing. Every good thing must come to an end. Oh, no, I don't think so.
No. Just in study sessions. Every good thing ain't going to come to an end. Not the word of Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Hallelujah. Ain't coming to an end. But this
Praise
show
God.
For is coming to an end. And thank you, Katria, my brother and friend, for helping present the studies of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you, fellow students, for coming back and studying right along with us and humbling yourself like King Dawood, knowing that you ain't nothing special, just like Cartriel and I know we ain't anything special. We're just servants of the Most High. And you like you are trying to be servants of the Most High. We don't know where y'all going, as I said. You're getting ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you, direct you, order your steps, and stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. Your King Dawood want to ask for a new thinker. Because he knew his thinker was broken, unlike some of you. He asked for a new thinker. One that loves the Most High with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, all his strength. And his brothers and sisters as himself. And one that continually thirsts of soul after righteousness. And not taking anything for granted. And by chance and our happenstance. That's how. The kind of heart we should want, the kind of thinkers we should want, because our thinkers are broken. And do a thinker that does self-examination and juxtaposition to the word of Yah. A thinker that doesn't just find fault in others for the sake of finding fault in others, but finding fault in oneself to exercise those faults and juxtaposition them to the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. You know we love y'all. You know how y'all know we love y'all? Cartrell and I love y'all. We come back day after day, week after week, and we bring you the word of Yah, just like it is, straight down the road. Cartrell, thank you, my brother and friend. Thank you, fellow students. And we finna get out of here. I got another lovely song for you to get out of here, a song by May. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. Trying to change things.
You need someone else. You got